Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I pray, Father, that as you brought them here this morning, by your hand, by your design, that they will walk away with the things that you want them to have this morning. That you would speak to them either through the words of the message or simply whatever you have to say to them. For you know that there have been many times that people have left and said, "You said this to me," and I said, "I didn't say that at all in the message. That was the Holy Spirit." And so, Father, I pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to come and to work in our midst, that he will present himself in the activity that he's doing in our hearts inwardly, and, Father, if it be your will, that outwardly, that we would see the effects of you working on their heart. Now, Father, I just pray that as we come together in your name, that we'll remember that, in essence, Father, we're standing on holy ground because we desire that you be here in our midst. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's only two mountains that I've ever climbed in my life, and it's not really impressive. It's not like Mount Ararat or something like that. But Stone Mountain in Georgia, and then South America, the statue of Christ on the mountain in South America, walked up to there. And it was a challenge. By the time I got up there, I was huffing and puffing, but I was glad I got there. And it was truly an experience. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. The title of the message this morning is Climbing Higher. And we know that for the last three Sundays, we've been talking about unlimiting God. We are not to make the decisions to draw the lines on God, to say that this is as far as I will have you work in my life. But we're to give our whole entire life to God, that he can accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And as we've been talking about unlimited God in our lives, it was based off of the book by Richard Blackaby. And the very first message in the series, I mentioned the concept that as Christians, we must draw near to God. You know, Psalm 46:10, draw near to God and I will draw near unto you. And I mentioned Christians who live their lives powerfully and effectively for God, like D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, a blind pastor in Africa, or a woman with a great ministry to orphans, all had one thing in common: intimacy with God. So today I want to elaborate more on the intimacy factor. And I want to talk about each of us climbing higher in our relationship with him. There's an exciting place when we've made a decision to climb higher. Climbing higher in our relationship with God is drawing closer to him in intimacy. And it always takes work. It always takes determination. It always takes the perseverance to continue on as God helps us to do that. In doing that, we unlimit the power of God in our lives. We don't confine God or not confine, but we do not tell God, "That's it. That's as far as I will go." Or, in reality, many Christians do that. Intimacy with God is like climbing a mountain, as we've discussed. If you personally were presented with the opportunity to climb a mountain, how would you respond? The question is, would you take the challenge? And so would you think that it was too big of a challenge to climb a mountain? And would it be too much physical activity? Would there be not enough time in your schedule to do it? Or maybe you don't have the right equipment or skills. Spiritually, there's a mountain for us to climb. And again, that's in that intimate relationship with God. Why is that a mountain? Because it's a challenge. It's a challenge to die to ourselves and live to God. It's a challenge to accept the purpose and the plans that God has for our lives when they challenge us beyond our capabilities. And so spiritually, I want us to consider the fact that many Christians come to the foot of the mountain. You see the mountain in front of them, they come to the foot of the mountain, they look at it, but what happens? They're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed, they see their inadequacy, and they see the challenge before them. And so they could either follow the Lord and pursue the height and the mountain that God would have us to do. Now many others begin the journey. I know many Christians, newborn babes in Christ, who begin the journey of following Christ. And it's a gradual climb. It's an easy climb. It's something that is a joyful climb without the challenge. You know what I'm saying? A brand new Christian, I know the Lord, I read my Bible, and I go to church. That's about the most of the challenge in most cases. But they settle for the camp at night. They enjoy the campfire and company of other climbers. That's like church, right? And the next morning, the climbers wake up, and some of them wake up, and they choose to stay by the campfire. Some make friends in camp and decide to stay with them in camp. Hey, I remember pastoring a church. I could not believe this man told me this. We were doing a building program. The church was growing. We had tripled in size. And he came in and he said, you know, Pastor, we're very happy with the small church we are. We don't want to grow, and you're interfering. Wow, God's kingdom work. They wanted to stay where they were because of that small church family. Because as you grow, the environment changes, and it's not what it used to be. But that's not the focus, is it? And then there are those few climbers that continue to move on. They see the steep increasing. They see the road narrowing. They see the views around them more impressively. You know, the more we pursue Christ and embrace the challenges, the more we discover the beauty of the Lord in our lives in ways that we have not seen before or realized before. As days pass by and the road becomes narrower and narrower, it becomes more and more difficult. It grows steeper and there's a greater effort. It's more demanding, but it's more spectacular. I think about the psalm about the sheep in Psalm 23 and any other biblical reference to sheep going into the narrow path. That narrow path that's referred to biblically had sheer cliffs and short, narrow pathways. When we were in Yosemite, we took a team of mules up the hill. The guy said, don't look down. They know what they're doing. And the path was about like this, it seemed like, and dropped a long ways. And we would hit a plateau and go higher and higher. But they said, the first thing that came to mind, and I had the spirited mule in the very last row. And he's saying, well, they know the path. They know what they're doing. It's memorized. Don't worry about it. I said, what if they have a heart attack? They look like they're old. You know, and then it's over. And then it's just over. So I didn't want that to happen. But as we choose to continue to follow God, the pathway has its challenges. It's difficult, isn't it? And it's hard. It's hard, okay? It's not hard. It isn't hard to choose to turn back. In fact, it's easy to turn back. You know, I tried following the Lord that far, but it's just too difficult to be committed to what God has me to do. And therefore, I'm stepping back to the comfort zone that God wants for me. It's too difficult because the aches and pains of climbing the mountain are too much to endure. It's too difficult because it requires that I'm dedicated and determined to continue to climb that mountain. It's too difficult because in church, we don't like the challenge that God puts before us. But we have to ask, do we want to embrace the challenge that God puts in front of us personally to pursue Him, His purpose, His plans, that we might find the things that God has in store for us that will be used to glorify God? And then there are those that step back and say, nope, I'm passing the baton, I'm done. And they miss the opportunities to see what God wants them to see. Sometimes it's exhausting, isn't it? It's absolutely exhausting. We did VBS. How many of you are pooped? You know what I mean? We're just done. And the younger ones, I asked one of our young ladies, are you tired? No. I said, that's because you're young. But the time will come when you feel exhausted and that time is spent. But as we continue to pursue God, instead of aches and pains and fatigue and exhaustion and all of that, we will reach those final places that God has for us. Now, I'm not saying the final place is the end of life and then we go to heaven. I'm saying the destination on the mountain that God puts in front of you, when you climb it as God has you to, we will find the accomplishment and the purpose that God has for us to experience. And they, you know, the point is when they get to the top of it, guess what they see? You remember the old song? I remember growing up and going on vacation in the Smoky Mountains. The bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain, the bear went over the mountain. And to see what he could see, what did he see? The bear went over the mountain. So, the other, thank you very much. It's been a long time. But, in any case, that's the Christian life. You pursue the mountain. A lot of times in our Christian faith, God, that's so impossible. That's so huge. When I was called into ministry, you know, I was the shy guy. And never liked being in front of classes to give oral reports. And God said, this is what I want you to do. And I'm standing in front of a congregation and I'm going, I'm about falling apart. That was my mountain. It was painful. But there were blessings in it. We have to choose whether we're going to follow the path that God has for us, because when we do reach that, we reach the breathtaking, beautiful crest of the mountain, the beautiful thing that God has done in our life, the beautiful experience that we've experienced by the power of God in our life, the beautiful closeness that we gain in our relationship with Jesus, the richness of our Christian faith. And it all multiplies. And so we must make the decision whether we are going to continue. There are those that determine, and only a few, that press on. Knowing that the Lord is like climbing a mountain, right? It's, Lord, I see it. The ascent, hear this, is available to all. We all have the opportunity to climb the mountain. We all have the choice whether we will or not. And so each of us needs to decide how far and how high we will go. The sad thing is many Christians decide, I'd rather stay with my friends down here at the bottom of the mountain than experience the height of what God has in store for me. And so we need to make those decisions. And certain aspects of the Christian life reveal clearly whether we've developed a deep and intimate relationship or walk with God. One of these involve prayer life. How is your prayer life? How is your time in God's Word? How much time do you spend with God? Our prayer life will determine our intimacy level with God. I mean, if we get closer and closer with God, if we get the counsel from God that helps us through the challenges in our life, or that lifts the burdens off of us, or that draws us closer to Him, that we can see Him in ways that we've never known Him before, those encourage us and motivate us to stand that much more in the power of God. So what is your prayer life, or what does your prayer life mean to you? I can tell God my daily needs. Many Christians are right there. God is there. You know how I refer to that? God's my genie lamp. No. I can tell God my prayer requests for others. That's good. I have an opportunity to find out God's plans for me. That's good. I can get to know God and hear from Him and find out His intentions and activity. I will say that too is a mountaintop experience. There are also times that we learn that in the valley. As we look to God through the horrible pain and challenges that we face in life, we can hear from God in ways that we never thought was possible. And so prayer isn't merely for us to place our wishes before God. It's an opportunity for God to lay His heart upon us. That's cool. It's not calling on Him to meet our request. It's being with Him to hear His heart for us. That's rich. That's really, really rich. When we've truly prayed, we come away with a heart and mind like God's. You know, God will reveal Himself to us. We begin to think that much more as God thinks. And the transformation work in our lives begins even and continues even more. In 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18, it says, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we experience the relationship that we have with Christ, the mountaintop experiences the beauty of Christ in our lives, and it repeats itself. We're going from glory to glory. We're seeing a glimpse of Him that affects us and transforms us, and we continue to experience those things as we yield our lives to Him. Through our prayers, we do not conform God to our will. It's not the genie principle. We're not there to make God do what we think. You know, there are so many Christians that I have heard that will try to, and I have to confess, I have done this too in my Christian walk, where I pray hard enough to convince myself that that's what God told me to do. We can't conform God, or we shouldn't try to conform God to our will, because that's not going to happen. Rather, He transforms us as we abide in His presence. The closer we are to Him, the more we become like Him. Question, do you want to become more like Jesus? Not in pompous self-righteousness, but in the character of Jesus, which is perfect and which glorifies God. The perfection process of building us in perfection is never completed this side of heaven, but it will be one day. I'm going to read you a little story real quickly. John Hyde, a missionary to India in the 1800s, was known as Praying Hyde. I like that. He was known as being a man who prayed, Praying Hyde. On one occasion during a missionary gathering, Hyde shared a room with several others. One of those men tells the story of how he found Hyde down on his knees by his bedside soon after dawn. Each time he came back to the room throughout the day, he would find Hyde still on his knees praying. At 6:30 that night, Hyde finally arose from his knees. The roommate asked Hyde what was the secret of all of this. John Hyde then told him that he had a new vision of Christ and went on to tell him of the details. Step by step, Hyde brought that roommate to see Christ that evening. I've met with Christ many times in prayer, so have you, as we pursue Him. I've had some wonderful, wonderful revelations from God, insights from Him. Man, that's the richest place we can be on earth, in the presence of God and the richness of who He is, revealing Himself to us, and how that impacts us. How awesome is that? John Hyde was willing to pay the price, right? He was willing to spend any amount of time, exert any effort to know Christ more intimately and personally. He grew to know Christ in ways his contemporaries did not. As John Hyde understood, one does not reach the profoundest moments in prayer in a few minutes. We have to be willing to cut out the time to spend time with God in prayer, to spend that time with Him. We cannot rush in and out of God's presence and expect to have a deep, dramatic encounter with Him. Many Christians will say, I talk to God all day. He's right there. He took care of me getting that parking spot close to the front doors. You know, praying for all these little things through the day, but there's a difference between praying for those things than there is as having something solid on your heart that you continue to pray about until it's resolved. We can still do that through the day. But what about when we fall on our face before God and we say, God, I've been praying and praying and praying and I still don't know the answer. And as we pursue Him, and if we pursue Him with the intent that says, I will not stop praying, I will not stop seeking your resolve in this matter. We must be ready. We must ready our hearts to meet with the Lord. Got to cut out the time. In Exodus 19, 10 through 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." They made a determination they're going to prepare themselves to meet with God. "And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Joshua 3:5 says, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify," or set yourself apart, "yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do," I love this, "wonders among you." Do we not separate our walk and relationship with God and that of the Old Testament and say, wow, what a picture in the Old Testament? I used to say, man, I wish I lived in the Old Testament. I would have loved to see the pillar of fire and the cloud that hovered over, or the mountain just lit up, or God coming and meeting with us, or seeing the wondrous miracles that he did. And I've only learned in my walk with Christ that those are pictures of what God reveals in our lives today, spiritually, as we meet with God and see his hand and power work in and through our lives. The reason many of us do not hear God reveal more to us is that our time devoted to prayer is too rushed. Be prepared for sufficient time in prayer. You ever wake up in the middle of the night, can't go back to sleep? Have you ever pondered on the possibility that the Holy Spirit may be waking you up and saying, I need you to talk to me because I have something to tell you? Take the opportunity as God gives those opportunities to you. Jesus is our example, right? Did not Jesus prioritize prayer? Was he not always praying? The disciples witnessed him praying all the time. And they asked him in Luke 11:1, teach us to pray. If you turn to that later, you say, well, that's the Lord's Prayer. No, it's the disciples' prayer. The disciples asked, teach us. And he taught them how to pray. And we should take that advice too. Too often, however, we put the cart before the horse. I love this picture. It's not up there. Too often, however, we put the cart before the horse in our lives and make prayer an add-on, an afterthought, a bonus feature of what we're already doing. Placing our work ahead of God. You ever feel that way? I've done my thing, my responsibilities, my job, my family, fill in the list. Now, God, I have time for you. Wake up in the morning and pray to God. Make an effort to spend a little bit of time before him at least. And then seek him throughout the day. Ask him, I have asked him, Lord, in my schedule, orchestrate that time that I can pray more with you. He's done it, and most of the time I take it. There have been other times where I didn't feel like it. Shame on me. A deep devotion to prayer was always connected to the success of the New Testament church. Right? Remember when they were praying for Peter when he was in jail? Wrote his house? They're all together praying. And then he knocks on the door and says, it's Peter. No, it's not. It can't be. It's Peter. Oh, no, it's not. It can't be. Opens the window. Oh, it's Peter. We've been praying for you as a body of Christ. And so there's a deep devotion to prayer. When we had our Guatemala trip, the church members that were here were praying for us on a regular basis. And we saw and felt and recognized the power of that prayer. So before the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost, right? We know about Pentecost. The followers of Christ were all with one mind. It's powerful. One body, one mind, one spirit. Walking with Jesus collectively as a body of believers in the local church. That's what we should be pursuing. And we should be praying corporately together. In Acts 1:14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The words one accord in the New King James means to devote. In other translations, it means insisting on something or clinging to it. Remember I was saying, I am not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop looking to you until this burden or this direction or this answer is resolved by you. Must be persistent. Sometimes it's painful because we don't feel like it. Sometimes it takes a lot of energy, actually, to be still and pray before God. The Apostle Paul reminds us to be devoted to prayer in Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Command of God. Continue earnestly in prayer. You know what we can do? We can go to God honestly and say, God, I have a lousy prayer life, if that be the case. And I want a better prayer life. And your word tells me to have a better prayer life. A prayer life that is earnest in prayer. That's vigilant in prayer, right? Fighting off the enemy. A prayer life that's giving you thanks. I need you, Lord, to teach me to be that kind of Christian that my prayer life will be that way. And I believe that if we genuinely are asking that, God will absolutely give that. And so, in the New King James Version, devote is translated to continue earnestly. We need to remember we're interacting directly with God. To be in the very presence of God, to feel the overwhelming presence of Him in such a way that everything is out of view, that every distraction is gone, that there's nothing around us or in us that's inhibiting us from being clearly focused on the very presence of God that we're in the midst of. It's humbling. It's exciting. It's reinforcing. It's realizing the wonderful love of God for us. When we're in that type of presence with God, because He's really with us. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, one who died for us on the cross, one who rose, one who without Him nothing is, for everything is created by Him and held by Him, taking the time to be just with you and me in a way that reveals His holy presence, like Moses on the mountain. And many others. We can have those times. Sometimes we forget we're in His presence when we go to God in prayer. We go to God in prayer, sometimes out of rote, right? But if we're going to be the people that are going to climb the mountain to the height that He has us to be, we've got to be like this. And the only way we're like this is by having our heart connected with Jesus through prayer on a consistent and deep basis. The Apostle John received great revelation from Jesus in His presence. In Revelation 1:17 it says, "And when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, but He laid His right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last.'" Wonderful that He was in His presence. I share with you something that is not necessarily easy received by others. But I remember a time long ago, as I get older, long, long, long ago, where I was praying on the rooftop of a hospital that I was working at, looking at the stars, amazed by the wonder of the universe around me. And I was on my knees next to the air conditioner, and I was praying to God. I say this not for any pat on the back type thing. This is a time that I felt compelled of God to right up there on that roof with all the rock and tar roof, to get on my knees before God. And as I lifted my hands and prayed to God, I believe I had a glimpse of some of His glory. And the reason why I bring that up is because it amazed me that God would show Himself to me. But I'm no better than anyone else. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have the opportunity for God to reveal himself to us that will blow our mind, as the old expression is. Because when John was before God, it blew him away to the point that he fell face down in the presence of God. John had God's glory and the future revealed to him, as we know, in the book of Revelation. God showed him what's going to take place, like he showed Daniel. Phew! Wow! Are we exempt from such wonder of God being revealed to us? I don't believe so. I love what the Kendrick brothers said in their book, The Battle Plan for Prayer. If we could only understand what being in the presence of the Almighty is truly like, our mind wouldn't be casually wondering. We wouldn't be drifting in and out of sleep. We'd be fully alert and overwhelmed, all attention held captive, stunned, speechless. And when he did speak, we would be humble, reverent, and very careful of what came out of our mouths, because we're in the presence of God. Prayer is communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. Prayer is communion with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. So prayer is an ongoing daily way to know God better and better. To pursue that and to know him is an experience in him, right? To grow deeper in him, our respect and love for him will grow greater. And that's rich. That's rich. Ephesians 3:17-19 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that something we desire? Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus was that they would be able to comprehend God's love. For those of you that know, most of the ladies know Priscilla Shearer. And she said, because praying, reaching outward and upward to him, is the way his passion comes down. Even prayers that begin, I like this, with the blunt edge of willpower, dragging your heart along, kicking and screaming, can soon begin to shine with the cutting edge of hope, faith, and passionate confidence in Christ. Once the wind of God's Spirit starts blowing, you're no longer praying rote, innocuous prayers. Instead, you're praying deliberate prayers. You know, when we go through the painstaking effort to pray to God and we're distracted and it seems empty and it seems unpowerful and it seems like what's the use type thing, but we stay steadfast in that, when we connect and we know we're connected with God, then it just takes off in our spiritual prayer time with him. So do you want to climb higher? Yes or no? Do you want to draw nearer to God and have an intimate relation to him? Yes or no? Do you want your passion to grow? Yes or no? Do you want to have a prayer life that isn't rote and routine, where you are fully aware of God's presence? Yes or no? Guess what? It's up to you and me. You are the one who must determine to climb the mountain to see the majestic views, despite any pain or sacrifices along the way. And so I challenge you to unlimit God in your life by climbing higher. The spiritual mountain, climb higher. Discover him, grow in him, be rich in him, and he'll be glorified through you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for your love for us. It's so rich. It's immeasurable. It's overwhelming sometimes. And you desire so much for us to love you back, to want to spend that time with you, to want to desire and hunger after you with a hunger that supersedes the work and the rote and the things of life. that we can't wait to get back into your presence with a holy reverence, without distraction. I pray you help each one of us to do just that, that we might discover the mountains you have us each to pursue, that you will give us the grace to reach the height of that mountain that helps transform us to be the people you want us to be, and to prepare us to climb even higher mountains. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.